We're going to continue to look at the relationship of a man and woman. On my first day at work in the features department of the big Sydney newspaper, I collided head-on with Peter Scott in the corridor. Peter was everything I admired in a man. He had an attractive English voice. He was intelligent and of a quick wit. And I soon learned that we shared the same interest in theater, in literature, and in music. After being agonizingly aware of each other for about 10 days, we dined out together. It was a perfect evening. In fact, the whole future looked perfect. Soon we were radiantly in love. Then the flaws began to appear. I was hurt when he joined in on the cynical office jokes, but because of my deep love, I remained silent. I was bothered by the abrupt way he spoke to simple, well-meaning, but perhaps slightly inefficient people, and I was embarrassed to tell him that I was attending church, and that kept me from seeing him on Sunday evenings. You see? After the initial fireworks, then life started to happen. So my daughter said to me yesterday, that I'm going to do this, and I'm going to plan this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that, and that's wonderful. And then I said to her, honey, let me tell you what life is. I said, life is what happens after you plan out everything. That's what life is. This morning, we're going to look at a woman's covering. A woman's covering. We saw so far, as we looked at this particular topic of husbands and wives, that all husbands are commanded to sacrifice for their ladies, for their women, for their wives, to forgive them, and to protect them, even as Christ did the church. Jesus Christ is the example a husband is supposed to look at. Jesus Christ is the example a husband is supposed to mimic with regards to a wife. This is important information if you're married, because it'll show you how we can get better in our marriages. And I'm also married, so this information is important to me. This is important information if you're going to get married, because if you're a woman or a man, this is the way you should be thinking if you're headed in that direction. Understand? I remember when my son enlisted into the service, that he was concerned about certain physical aspects of the military. And I can remember in the living room working with him and doing push-ups, because you had to do so many push-ups. See, because if you're going to start to head in a direction, that's what you need to do to get yourself prepared for that direction, right? Let me put it to you this way. You all understand this. If you're going to go to a smorgasbord tonight, do you stuff your face full of food all day long? No, you prepare yourself, and when you get to the smorgasbord, you're ready, right? Then you stuff yourself. So you're heading towards that direction. That's why it's important, if you're going to consider marriage, that as a woman, you need to be thinking along these lines, because this is God's word for you. And as a man, you need to be thinking along these lines. As a single individual, you're called to serve another Lord. And if your plan is to remain single as a man, you are called to serve God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a woman, if you remain single, you're called to serve God and Jesus Christ. And you do not have to place yourself under the restrictions that the word gives for a married couple. That is your choice. And God will bless you and love you and give you everything that you ever wanted, according to the word, just like he will a married couple. So it's really up to you. But if you are thinking about entering into marriage, or if you are married, this is what God says is best for your marriage, and this is what God would want you to do. So, we're going to be concerned about, specifically today, a covering, the protection that a husband is to afford to his wife. And for this, we look in Ephesians chapter 5. And as you are turning there, I'll pass this around the room. You can just pass it around. And this blessed me, because that was an email my wife sent me a week or so ago. And it doesn't say a lot on it, but it's just a picture of two birds and one holding its head over the other. And the caption says, "Thanks for being my covering." And that's what you're supposed to be for your wife, is you're supposed to protect her. In verse 23, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." The Bible says that the husband is the head of the wife. It says the husband is the head of the wife. That's a pure statement of truth. He says he is the head of the wife. The Bible does not say that the husband could be the head. The Bible does not say that the husband may be the head. The Bible does not even say that he can be if he wants. You understand? The Bible says that the husband is the head of the wife. He is the head of the wife. Now you must understand, as a wife or a potential wife, the difference between the position of a head and the function of a head. The Bible says that the husband is the head of the wife, period, no argument. That's God's word. That's what he says. But there is a difference between position and function. The position of the head is a divinely conferred office to your husband. In other words, God gave that to him. God made him that way. Your husband has no choice in this. He has no choice. It doesn't matter if he likes it. It doesn't matter if he wants it. It doesn't matter if he needs it. He can run from it like Jonah ran from God, but sooner or later, God will catch him and deal with him, because God said he's what? The head. He's the head. God said he's my man. This office as the head is given to him by God. And it is given to him by God when he enters into covenant with God and his wife at the time of his wedding vows. That's when he becomes head of the wife. That's when God gives him the office of the head. And it's entered in by covenant. By covenant. Now this office as the head, we're looking at office now, is a special duty, a special charge and position conferred by the exercise of a divine authority for a specific purpose. He's given this job. He's given this office as the head from God for a specific purpose. And that purpose is to assume the active role of being the head to his wife, to his family. That's the office of the head, the position of the head. Now the function of that office, how he carries it out, how he performs in that office, is entirely up to your husband. It's entirely up to the man. See, just because you are given the designation as an American citizen does not mean that you will function properly as an American citizen, as attested to by many people in prison today. right? The function of a head in a family is completely up to the male individual. It's up to your husband. If he wants to be the head and he wants to act the way God wants him to act, then he will do so. If he wants to be a jerk and act the way the devil wants him to act, then he'll do that too. Now, the problem has been that some of our men do not want to function as the head. They only want to be recognized as the head. That's where the problem comes in. They love the scripture which says the husband's the head of the wife, and all the pomp and glory that they think supposedly goes with that. But do they not want to function in that office, that God-given office, as the head, the way God wants them to function in that office? Men, when God gives you the office of headship to us as husbands, we are responsible before God to steward that position and to carry it out the way God would have us carry it out. Now, if you're a passive man, you're going to have a problem. See? Because passive people usually let people walk over them, usually let circumstances and situations dictate to them. And you cannot lead and be the head properly if you're always going to take back seat and you're going to be passive about things. That doesn't mean that you have to be belligerent. It just means that you have to be the type of man that God called you to be, because passive people don't lead. And as the head, you must lead. You're either leading your family towards Christ or you're leading your family away from Christ. You see? Men, God did not ask you if you want it to be the head. You know, we went out to dinner the other night, and the waiter asked me if I would like to have a drink. Okay? God doesn't do that. God just comes along and sits down to drink, says, drink it. He didn't ask you if you want to be the head. He didn't call you up and say, what do you think about this? Can I run this by you? You know what it said? He says, for the husband is the head of the wife, what? Period. That's what he said. God told you that you are the head. And there's a tremendous difference between being asked something and being told something. Big difference. One implies you have the free will to say yes or no. The other implies that you don't, doesn't matter what you say, this is what you are. When a male child is born, there's a little baby Vienna sausage down there. It don't matter. That's a boy, right? He can squawk, she can squawk, husband, wife, it's a what? That's the way it is. That's the way God is. God says, you're a boy, you're going to get married, you're the head. He didn't ask. You're the head. Yeah. Look at 1 Corinthians 11, please. What'd you say, Cratchit? You didn't... I could have said sweetest meatballs. First Corinthians 11. Look at verse 3. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. The head of Christ is who? You see, this is the divine chain of authority. Everybody's got somebody they got to answer to. Everybody's got a boss except for God. And I told you the reason for that is because God's at the top of the hill. He's king of the hill, and nobody can unthrone him, so he can do whatever he wants to do. He doesn't need a boss. But that which God does is always righteous and good and loving, so we don't have to be concerned about that. God is over all. Then comes Christ, then comes man, then comes woman, and together they oversee the children in the family. Ladies, your husband is the head, potential ladies, potential wives, wives, and potential wives. Your husband is the head because God appointed him to that position. He didn't earn it. He didn't deserve it. He did nothing to qualify him for it. He is the head because of God's decision to appoint him to that position. You understand? His selection and installation as the head to this divine office is recorded in the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 11:3, Ephesians 5:23, Genesis 3:16. Ladies, wives, God, in his infinite wisdom, decided not to run this by you before he decided how he wanted things done. And he did this for a reason. In other words, God didn't ask for your opinion. He didn't ask for what you think about this idea about man being the head. And you know why he didn't do that? Because he's smart, right? Because Ephesians might be written a different way, right? God does not need your approval, ladies, and God does not need your consent before he speaks his word. It's just that simple. You know why? Because he's God, and he doesn't answer to anybody.
Amen.
Now, your husband is commanded to be the head by Almighty God. And as your head, he is to protect and he is to cover you. That's one of his jobs. A husband or a potential husband is to protect and to cover you. If you are dating a man that is not exhibiting these characteristics and qualities, then you might think yourself better to find somebody else. Because if you think you're going to get married and all of a sudden when you say I do, he's going to flick a switch in the back of his head and start to protect and provide for you, you're in for a miserable, rude awakening. You see? These qualities of protection and covering should be evident in your dating process. Because then when you get married, they will be evident in the marriage process. If a man does not provide or protect for a woman before he marries her, what makes you think he's going to provide and protect her after he marries her? See? And a man who allows a woman to provide and protect for him is not a man. He's not a man. He's just going to use you and abuse you and leave you, probably with a couple kids. See? A man is supposed to provide and protect for a woman when you date and when you marry. This is his God-given assignment. It's his responsibility and obligation. It's his duty. It's his mission. It's his job, it's his position. He is to protect and provide for you as Christ also protected and provided for the church. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 22 once again. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So the command here is given to husbands to love their wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. See, Jesus Christ didn't just love in word. Jesus Christ loved the church in what? Deed. A husband is not just to love in word. A husband is to love as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's his example to follow. So a husband must not just love in word. A husband must love in what? Deed. Don't tell her how much you love her. Don't tell her how much you care for her. Don't tell her how much you need her and then sit on your bum butt and not work. And sit on your bum butt and not open the door for her, not help with the children, not help around the house, not assume your responsibility as a husband. She don't want to hear that. She wants to see the type of man that you're going to be. And you should show her the type of man you're going to be by your actions. See? A little less words and a little more actions will get you further along the line. So as Christ protected and provided for the church, husbands are instructed to protect and provide for their own wives. It's that simple. You want to know how you should provide and protect your wife? Take a look at how Jesus Christ treated the church. A picture of a marriage should be the way Jesus Christ treated the church. Okay? That means that there shouldn't be any profanity and cursing and screaming and fighting between mommy and daddy, between husband and wife. If there is cursing and fighting going on between husband and wife, okay, it is not because she's wrong or he's wrong. It's because you are both off of God's word and you are not treating your wife the way Christ treats the church, because you can't show me where Christ cursed at the church. You can't show me where Christ fought the church. You can't show me where Christ even blamed the church. Matter of fact, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they what. See? So don't blame your inability to line up with God and swallow your pride as a husband on your spouse. You are the head. That means you are supposed to have it together. That means you are the first one to say, I'm sorry. You are the first one to apologize. You are the first one to seek God's will, because that's what the head does. The head does things first. And you implement that into your family. Don't blame your wife. Don't blame your wife. Stop making excuses. That's all. And I'm married, so you understand, I have to live this also. Look at Romans chapter 15. Don't you get sick of excuses? I mean, I do after a while. I mean, everybody makes mistakes, and I understand that. But don't you get sick of the excuses of why you can't do this and why things are that way and why things are the other way? I get sick of that. And as long as you live in that lie of excuses, your life will never change. Romans 15, verse 3 says, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Do you not think that Jesus Christ would have liked to move in a different direction in his life? Look at Matthew chapter 26. Do you not think that there were times that Jesus Christ would have liked to do certain things, but because of the situations and his ministry and life dictated something other, that he had to put others before himself? Sure. So you know what that means? That means as a husband, there's going to come times where you want to watch the game, or you want to go to such and such, or you want to go over and play ball, or you want to do such and such, and you're just not going to be able to do that. Or you want to play golf, but you want to know something? The finances aren't there. So you know what you do? You don't play golf. And believe me, no man has ever died for missing a game of golf. Huh? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Matthew 26, verse 39. Going a little farther, he fell on his face to the ground. 26:39, I'm reading out of the NIV. My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as what? You will. Did Jesus Christ want to do what he had to do? As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ prayed, please take this away from me, right? But he says, not what I want to do. I want to do your will. And as men, we need to line ourselves up with God, and we need to have the same prayer, as that we want to do your will, Father. I don't want to go home. I don't want to help with the dishes. I don't want to do the diaper. I don't do diapers. I don't do windows. I don't do beds. Mm-mm. I'm the man. What's the Bible say? Not as my will, but whose will?
Thy will.
You want to know something? Maybe the greatest thing you could do for your wife is help with the dishes sometime. Or the greatest thing you could do for your wife is change the baby. Or watch the children and send her out so she can have some free time. But you see, we got so much of this my will going on, because you know why? We're selfish. The first thing I taught you about love is that the type of love a husband has to love his wife with is what kind of love? Sacrificial love. You have to sacrifice. And if you are not willing to sacrifice, don't get married. Because marriage is not for selfish people. Marriage is not for I'm going to do my thing and you do your thing and we'll come together when we feel like it. It is not for selfish people. Marriage is all about sacrifice, love, giving. What can I do to make your life easier? Jesus said, not as my will, but your will. One of the duties of a husband, and later on in life as you have children, a father, is to lead his spouse and his family in the direction of God's will, even if it's uncomfortable. Was it uncomfortable for Jesus in the garden? Did he still lead toward the direction of God's will? As a husband, you have to do the same thing, even if it's uncomfortable. Even if I don't want to do it, or I never get a chance to do anything, or how come everybody else got to come before me? Well, you should have known that before you said, I do. Life is over. Grow the hell up. Stop being a Toys R Us kid. That's the way it works, Jeffrey Giraffe. A husband leads his family towards God's will when he serves as the head. If a wife refuses to accept her husband's God-ordained designation as the head, then she places herself at cross purposes with God Almighty. Now, let me read that to you again, because you were all happy when the husbands were getting it. If a wife refuses to accept her husband's God-ordained designation as the head, then she places herself at cross purposes with God Almighty. Thus, placing herself in league with Satan and allowing the enemy access to her marriage and to her family. That's what she does. When she says, I ain't accepting him as my head. I ain't calling him my head. He ain't no head to me. He don't act like a head, and I don't acknowledge him as my head. What she is doing is putting herself at cross purposes with God, because God didn't ask your opinion whether he wanted you or whether you liked him being the head. God was big enough to make him the head without your opinion. Nor does God care about your opinion. He loves you, but he don't care about your opinion. He didn't ask you when he made the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, and everything in it. And he didn't ask you about making the husband the head. He did it without you. You know why? Because he's God. That's why. And it goes farther than that. If a woman remains rebellious, she then jeopardizes the future of that family and the continuance of the word of God in her family line. This can be seen in Malachi chapter 2. Look at it. Israel was complaining to God, why won't you listen to us? Why can't we get our prayers answered? That's what Israel was saying to God. The men were squawking. I'm after the principle here. But in Malachi 2, verse 13, it says, another thing you do. This is God, the prophets, telling the people. There's another thing you do. By the way, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You're a crybaby. That's in our day and time. You're a big crybaby. You come up here and cry. You flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer pays attention to your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. And you ask, how come he ain't listening to me no more? Is the Lord acting as a witness between you and the wife of your youth because you have broken faith with her? Though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant, verse 15, has not the Lord made them one? Remember in the beginning? One flesh. In flesh and in spirit, they are his. And why one? Why did God do this? Why did God set this up this way? Because he was seeking what? Godly offspring. Godly seed. I'm reading from a different version. He wanted a godly offspring. Verse 16. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. And I hate man covering himself with violence as well as with his garments, says the Lord. So guard yourself and don't break faith. God hates divorce. But see, God was not only concerned about the man and the woman, but God was concerned about the next generation. He wanted a godly seed. He wanted a godly offspring. You understand? And if a woman stays in a rebellious state of mind and it ends up in a divorce, there is no next godly generation. MTV will raise the children because mom's got to be at work. The local high school will raise the children because mom's got to be at work. See? The local boys will raise the children because mom's got to be at work. And the next generation, the godly offspring, just kiss it goodbye. Kiss it goodbye. When a wife refuses to accept God's will for her marriage, and specifically, God's will for the marriage is that the husband is the head. Is the head. When a wife refuses to accept that, no good thing can come of it. And this adds to the problem of divorce here in the United States. Let me say it another way. Women, saying no to God is a bad idea. Okay? When a Christian couple divorces, everyone involved gets a bad name. It makes God look bad. It makes the church look bad. And it makes the couple look bad, including the kids. Everybody suffers. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, whether one member suffer, what? All members suffer. That's what the Bible says. That's not what I say. You see, so your life is bigger than just you and him or you and her. You understand? Everybody's affected. It's one body in Christ. You understand? Now, you may not say everybody's affected, but you're saying something that God says is the other way around. And it's not your word. It's God's word. God says everybody suffers. If your husband is going to provide for you, if your husband is going to cover you, you must submit to his position as the head. You must submit to his position as the head. The problem has been with women, wives, women, is that women confuse office and function. That's what they do. They confuse the office of the head and the function of the head. And because some men have refused to function in their God-ordained office, their wives now feel that they are excused from submitting to a non or a poor functioning head. That's the problem. A wife is commanded to submit herself to her own husband. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. A wife is to respect her husband's position. as her head, regardless of how he functions in that office. Let me say that again. A wife is to respect her husband's position as her head, regardless of how he functions in that office. You are called to respect the office of authority that God has ordained, even if you don't like the way he's executing that office. Because who made your husband the head? And you are called to respect that decision that God in his word sets forth, even if your husband is not functioning in that office. Now, you do this all the time in the census world. In the census world, you know, where it says, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of those that believe not. That world, the one that Satan runs, you do this all the time for Satan. In his world, the world that he runs, you submit to the position of headship. You submit to the position of authority in the world of Satan. And you bite your tongue because you know what will happen if you do not bite your tongue and you show disrespect. Take a state cop, for instance, on your way from leaving here, because some of you tend to go a little faster than you should. I won't mention any names. First row, center seat. He's not a wife. I say pick on the women. But if a state policeman pulls you over, how far do you think you're going to get if you start disrespecting and cursing at him? Even if he pulls you over for a BS reason, how far do you think you're going to get if you disrespect his office of authority? See, if you got the brain the size of a tuna fish, you know you better respect his authority, regardless whether you agree with him or not. Because I'm going to guarantee you, you're going to say, I wouldn't want that officer. You may not agree with what he's saying, but you better respect his authority. Because if you show disrespect, he's going to arrest you, right? And it's going to get what?
Worse.
Why? Because you disrespected his position. Do you know why a normal woman would refrain from voicing what she's thinking? Because she knows that she better show respect for that man's authority or suffer the consequences. That's why a normal woman, I'm not talking about a rebellious Jezebel big mouth. I'm talking about a normal woman, okay, would not get out of the car, start cursing and swearing and becoming animated at the state police officer because she respects him and she knows what's going to happen. She talks that way to him. Right? That's why she wouldn't do that. Take a judge. He's behind, what do they sit behind? A desk at the gavel. You better respect that man. I don't care if you like him. I don't care if he's even wrong. But when he's there and you're in the courtroom, you got to show respect to that man. Is that correct? Are you respecting him because he's better than you?
No.
Are you respecting him because you agree with him?
No.
Are you respecting him because he knows everything? No. What are you respecting? His what?
Authority.
And what? Office. His position. His authority. That's what you're respecting, because that's what the law of the land requires from you. And if you disrespect him, what's going to happen? Take Judge Judy. I like her. You're doing this, and you should be doing this. And she got that big black guy there that's her guard. Judy don't take no crap. Why? Because when she feels that they were beginning to disrespect the office and make a mockery, she shuts it right down, right? Now, I don't agree with everything Judy does or says, but you got to respect her office. You in the service? You ever try and disrespect a drill sergeant? Are most drill sergeants the biggest jerks you ever met in your life, personality-wise? You wonder how they ever get the hell out of bed and put their shoes on sometimes, right? But do you dare disrespect that office or that position of authority? No. Why? Because he's better than you? No, because it's his position. And that's what you're called to respect in the military. How about as a parent? And you tell your child, time to go to bed, honey. And they say to you, I ain't going to hell to bed. I don't care what you say. Oh, that's okay, honey. You do whatever you want. You let your child disrespect you that way? Because she better learn to respect you as your position as mother or father, right? And that's where women mess up. God says the husband is the head of the wife. Here, listen to this one. Christ is the Savior of the body. There's no room for argument in there. God didn't ask your opinion about it. God just made a simple, plain statement of truth. Christ is the Savior of the body. Got nothing to do whether you like it, whether you accept it, whether you believe it. He is. Because who made him that way?
God.
God did. In the same way, God says the husband is the head of what? It don't matter whether you like it. It don't matter whether you believe it. It don't matter whether you want it to be that way. Because God doesn't need you to agree with his word. He wants you to, because it'll be much better for you. But let me tell you something. When you say no, when you say, I ain't respecting no man, I ain't making no man my head, I'm not acting, when you say that, you are saying no to who?
God.
And you know what you do? This is what you do. He ain't acting like the head. The word doesn't say that. The word doesn't say if he acts like the head to respect him and he's the head. He doesn't function as head. The word doesn't say he has to function as the head. A lot of times you don't function like believers. But you're still believers. He don't take his Holy Spirit out of you and throw you away so you're going to go to hell, does he? You ought to be thankful for that, right? See, just because you are a son of God doesn't mean that you act like a son of God sometimes. Or just because you are, don't hide behind her, Joshua, I can see you. Because you are a daughter of God, don't mean you act like a daughter of God sometimes. Right? Sure. God said the husband is the head of the wife. Now, if you don't like that, complain to God. Complain to God. Now, as we continue to study and continue to work this field, we'll see that a husband should function. We'll see that a husband should act accordingly. And there are ways that a wife can help a husband along those ways. But I will guarantee you, one of the ways that you cannot help your husband along those ways is to disrespect his position of authority as your head. As soon as you disrespect that position, okay, you have broken the word of God in your life, and there's a lot of things you can do to a man. You can tell him he's fat. You can tell him you don't like his hair. You can tell him he can exercise more. But as soon as you disrespect the man, you got big problems on your hands. Because that's what men live off of. Women live off of love. Bible says husbands love your wives. Doesn't say for wives to love their husbands. It commands husbands to love their wives because women live off of love. But men need to be respected in the position. Not for what they do. You understand? You respect what God has called them to do. You respect what God has made them. You know, you ever say this to one another, look at the Christ in a person. Remember saying that? Try and see the Christ in a person. Try to see, right? You know why you say that? You say that because you respect what God has done in that individual regardless of how that individual is acting. Right? Same thing. You respect what God has done in this individual, regardless of how the individual acts. Now, that doesn't mean that gives them an excuse to be a jerk. It doesn't mean that they should be jerks. And it doesn't mean that you are to follow him blindly and do whatever he says blindly as a jerk. Because with his authority, God has placed limits on his authority. And I taught you before, God always trumps your husband. So if your husband is asking you to do something that's contrary to God's word, you simply say, I love you, but I will not do that because God is over you. You understand? It does not give the right for a husband to command of his wife to do anything he wants that will break God's word. It doesn't do that. At that point, a wife has the God-given responsibility and authority to say, sorry, ain't happening. Sorry, ain't happening. Right? And when a wife does not follow and stand up and goes aimlessly down the lie, aimlessly down the sin with her husband, the consequences are recorded in the Word of God. Ananias and Sapphira. The husband lied. And then Peter got her in front of him and he says, why have Satan tempted you to lie together with your husband? She could have said, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. And she could have walked away. But she didn't. She did what she shouldn't have done, and then she paid the consequences of that. See? So it's not this, oh, we have to be these little Stepford wives and do whatever we're told. That's not what it is. That's not what it is. You are to respect that authority. You are to respect that office in as long as that office and authority is in keeping with God's word. And I didn't say anything about what you prefer. Okay? I said keeping with God's word. Just because you don't like it don't mean you can break and say, no, I ain't doing it. Because that's beyond your authority. It has to be in keeping with God's word. There's going to be a lot of things in life that you don't like to do, but it's in keeping in God's word. Jesus Christ didn't want to go to the cross, but it was in keeping with God's word. And he didn't please himself. You see, you respect and you show respect for the things of this world. The judge, your boss, the police officer, you know. You women, you got bosses that are jerks. They're not the best bosses in the world, right? But when you go to work, it's Mr. So-and-so. It's yes, Mr. So-and-so. It's I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do the other thing, right? Why? Because he's your boss. And you respect that, right? Because you want what? Your paycheck. That's why. If you do these things for the judge, for the boss, for the state cop, do you find it unreasonable to show respect to your heavenly father's chain of command and authority in marriage? Do you understand what I just said? If you can do this outside of the word, in the world of whom Satan is the god of, do you find it unreasonable to do it inside the church to respect God's chain of command that he set up in the Bible? Now, how stupid is that? Oh, yeah, I'll do it for the devil, but God, see what I mean? You get in league with the devil to get you to do these things. You don't even realize it. So this morning we saw that all husbands are commanded to give sacrificial love, to love with forgiveness, and to protect their wives as Christ did the church. We saw that the Bible said that the husband is the head of the wife. Doesn't matter whether the husband likes it, whether the wife likes it. And let me tell you this too. It doesn't even matter if the mother-in-law likes it. He is the head of the wife. We looked at the difference between the position of the head and the function of a head. We saw that the position of the head is a divinely conferred office. This office is given to him by God when he enters into the covenant with God at the time of the wedding vows. And we saw that the function of the head is the renewed mind action as a man willingly accepts and carries his duties out faithfully. We looked at the divine chain of authority, God's descending order of authority in 1 Corinthians 11:3, and we saw that everybody's got a boss except for who?
God.
Right. And then we looked at God's opinion, how he feels about divorce. And we saw that it was bigger than just the man and the wife, but God was also concerned about having a godly what? Offspring, a godly seed, children. We saw that divorce affects everybody. We saw how a wife should submit to her own husband because God said to. Not because he deserves it, because a lot of us men fall short, including myself, and we don't deserve it at times. But you still respect that position of office that God has given us. We saw that a wife is called to respect the office of authority that God has ordained, even if you don't like the way that your husband is executing that office. And we saw that even Christ pleased not himself, but he took on the reproaches of others. Likewise, a husband should not please himself, but should bear as many burdens in life so that he could protect his spouse and his family. And when we get together next time, we're going to look at this phrase, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. But the rest of the verse ends with, as unto the Lord. And you will see that your submitting to your own husband is as unto the Lord. There are limits in his authority, limits in what you can do and what you cannot do with regards to submitting. And we will see examples of women who did submit and examples of women who did not submit and how that impacted not only their lives, but the lives of the communities in which they lived in. So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for continuing to teach us. And thank you, Father, that we can get on your page, your way, and do things with your will. And right now, Father, if we've been falling short in these areas, that we just take a moment, Father, and we just vow to get better in these areas. We don't condemn ourselves, but we take this home, and we take it home not just to think about it, but to implement change in our lives where we need be. I thank you, Father, for each person that will hear this teaching as they go out. And, Father, I thank you that you would work in their lives and hearts and situations also. In Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen. I don't know what happened to it. It's still running probably.